Coming up next on the Friday Radio Zine, we'll hear from documentary filmmaker Penny Lane, who is showing her film Abortion Stories this week in Portland.
On the phone with me is Penny Lane. She is a documentary filmmaker, and her newest film is The Abortion Diaries. It will be presented in Portland on the 28th, which is Saturday, and the 29th, Sunday. She'll give us more information on where that will be and what time, and tell us more about this film, The Abortion Diaries. Penny Lane, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how you came to make this film.
Sure. Well, The Abortion Diaries is a half-an-hour documentary, and the movie basically presents the abortion stories of 12, you know, sort of diverse women. And my inspiration for the film was really from my own experience of abortion. I had an abortion in 2001 as a young woman, and I found that even in sort of pro-choice circles that, you know, that I ran in, it was a really, you know, not talked about experience. There seemed to be a lot of stigma around the experience of abortion. And I realized that, you know, a lot of people around me had actually had abortions that had never talked to anyone about it. And I thought that, you know, it was kind of a shame, and it also seems kind of like, just seems sort of depressing that 30 years after Roe v. Wade, this has been a legal and safe choice for so many women, and yet it's been such a silenced issue. You know, women don't even talk to each other, much less the public, about their experiences. It seemed to be a really important voice in the big overall abortion debate that this country is embroiled in. It was odd that even with all the news coverage and all the headlines that you read about abortion, you rarely hear from the people most affected by the issue, which is the women who actually have abortion. So that was my inspiration for it. And I started the film in 2004.
How did you decide to go about it in the way you did, bringing in these women and interviewing women? How did that happen?
You know, I had gone through the entire experience of my own abortion without really ever talking to anybody about it. And then sort of afterwards, when I had more sort of emotional space to reflect on it, I began talking to my own friends about it. And the conversations that I was having with the people that I knew, whether they were coworkers or close friends or family members, I thought were just really fascinating. And I couldn't believe that I'd never had these conversations before. So I really just wanted to basically do the exact same thing, but with as many different people as possible, and expand outside of my own friend circle, obviously, and try to find, you know, a greater diversity of people. So I actually sent out an email, and I asked people to forward it to their friends, and who forwarded it to their friends. And the email just basically said, you know, I'm interested in making this film. You know, have you had an abortion? Are you willing to talk about the experience on camera? And within about 2 weeks, I had over 100 responses to that email of women who were really interested in participating in the project. So that was how I went about finding the people. And then, you know, as far as, like, actually doing the interviews, I tried to keep it as sort of intimate, as personal, as conversational as possible. The interviews really were more like conversations between me and them. And then I sort of just edited down from these really long conversations into what I thought were the most, you know, interesting or poignant parts of their stories.
Were there themes that ran through almost everybody's story, or were they really different?
It's sort of both. Some things that really came up almost always were, you know, the most important thing for most women seemed to be in reflecting about their experience, just, you know, how they ended up in that situation, how they ended up with an unintended pregnancy. And so, you know, a lot of themes that came up with regards to that were things about self-esteem. Some women just didn't feel comfortable, you know, asking their partner to use a condom, or, you know, and they just sort of didn't have the self-esteem or the sexual intelligence or the sexual know-how to really navigate that terrain. So that was a big thing that came up, because most of the women that I interviewed, they're younger. Most of them are younger. They're in their 20s and 30s. And so most of them at least had some element of sex education in their lives, so they were aware of how not to get pregnant, sort of technically. But they found themselves unable to kind of, you know, really enact what they really knew about sexual safety in real-life situations because of, you know, power dynamics and different relationships, or because of, in some cases, abusive relationships. So that was a big, big theme for me. I thought that was one of the most salient points I thought the film makes, is that for a lot of women, when they talk about abortion, you know, they're really talking about sex and, like, how to be a sexually healthy, independent, empowered woman, you know, in the modern day, and how not to be, you know, and how hard that is actually to accomplish.
Do you want to talk about anybody's particular, is there an example that you want to give of, just to give us a flavor for somebody in this film or some issue in this film?
Sure, yeah. One person that comes to mind is a woman named Gwen in the film, who's a Jewish woman in her 40s. And, you know, she grew up, like, in the age of sexual liberation. You know, she was a teenager in the 70s. And she describes herself as the Margaret Sanger of Brooklyn. I mean, she never, ever, ever thought she'd have unprotected sex. She knew where the Planned Parenthood office was. She knew about contraception. You know, her mom was very open with her. And this was somebody who, like, really never imagined that she'd ever, ever, ever put herself in a situation, you know, where she'd end up getting pregnant accidentally, basically. And she'd been in a committed relationship all through her teens and then through college. And she really wanted to get married to this guy. You know, she was deeply in love with him. She really wanted to have kids, the whole nine yards. And he was basically emotionally unavailable for that. And she broke up with him. And kind of in a wild summer, as she says, she really went out and kind of was acting out sexually and had unprotected sex for the first time in her life and ended up with this pregnancy. And she made the decision to have the abortion. And, you know, that part of her story, you know, for her was not the crux of it. It was sort of like, that's what I did. You know, I felt good about it. I never had any doubts about my decision. And she put it behind her. But, you know, speaking to her now, you know, 20 odd years later, was really interesting because she's in her late 40s and she's pretty sure she's never going to have kids. And it makes her really sad, you know. So when she thinks about her abortion, she does think about, there is an element of sadness there. You know, like, what if I had had that child? Like, you know, she just sort of feels this inexplicable grief about the fact that she never had children. And when she talks about that, she really talks about the fact that she would have had children, I think, if she'd ever felt supported enough. But she never felt supported enough, you know. She came from a divorced family. She didn't want to recreate that for her own kids. She never wanted to, you know, she wants to have kids, but she doesn't feel supported in that choice as a single woman. And so I just find that story really interesting because, you know, she's speaking of abortion in a really complex way. You know, there's elements of grief and regret in her story, and there's elements of empowerment and, you know, kind of, you know, being an independent person and making your own choices for your own life. And so it's a much more complex, you know, dialogue than people tend to think about when they think about abortion.
It seems like sometimes people might be reluctant to talk about any kind of grief or regret because it could be immediately interpreted by anti-abortion people as a justification for limiting choice.
Absolutely. And that actually makes me think of another person in the film whose name is Tamar. And she was in a foreign country in the 80s as a young woman. And she ended up getting pregnant in a country and needing an abortion in a country where abortion was illegal and unsafe. And so she tells her story in the film, which I won't recreate now, but it's a really, really heart-wrenching story. And the abortion went really badly, and she ended up being rendered infertile as a result of that. And one thing that she really speaks about really poignantly in the film is the fact that the grief that she feels today about her abortion, you know, is the kind of grief that anti-abortion activists, if you want to call them that, you know, turn against the reproductive rights movement. They say, look, abortion hurts women. You know, look at this person. Look at Tamar, you know. And she's very adamant with the fact that, you know, in her opinion anyway, you know, it wasn't the abortion that hurt her. It was the fact that the abortion was unsafe and, you know, and destroyed her chances of having her own biological child, you know, later in life.
So what did you learn from doing this? What kind of realizations have been most important for you after getting all these stories on film?
I would say there's two things. The first thing was that, and the most important thing to me that I realized, was that I had been incredibly, incredibly lucky. And I had no conception that I was so lucky at the time. Because I lived in New York State. I was living in poverty at the time. And I live in one of the few states in this country where you can get financial assistance for an abortion if you need it. And so I was lucky in that way. I was lucky in the sense that I come from a very sort of liberal background. There was nobody in my life who would have, you know, shunned me or shut me out of their life because of this choice. And I was also lucky because living in New York State again, you know, I live within blocks of an abortion provider. And when I started hearing all these stories from across the country, and actually from around the world, I realized how, even, you know, I just had never realized that even though abortion is legal in this country and has been for 30-odd years, it's incredibly difficult for most women in this country to access that service. You know, something like 87% of the counties in this country have no abortion provider. You know, I just sort of realized that I had been so fortunate in my own experience and that it wasn't that way for most people in this country. So that was the first thing. The second thing that I realized that I think is really important was that even as someone who considered herself really pro-choice and a very strong advocate for reproductive freedom, I had a lot of judgments. You know, I had formed a lot of judgments in my mind about women who had abortions. I had thought, oh, well, you can have one, but if you have multiple abortions, then there's something wrong with you. Like anyone who'd go down that road is clearly a bad person or something. Or abortion is okay under this circumstance, but not under that circumstance. So as I was, like, you know, kind of going out into the world and doing these interviews, you know, I met people and I talked to people who'd had these experiences that if I heard about, you know, on the news, I would have probably thought they were a bad person or that I couldn't relate to them or how could you do that? And then I sort of realized that I was so judgmental. And a lot of people suffer from that. Like the only moral abortion is my abortion, that kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it really struck me that most people in this country, even who consider themselves pro-choice, need to really examine their own preconceptions and their own judgments about women who actually have abortions. Because you cannot decide for someone else. You don't know what, you know what I mean? Like, if you really sit down and talk to somebody and you listen to them and you really listen, you start to you find points of connection with them that you may not have thought you'd find. Start to realize, like, oh, I could be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see how that could happen to me. Now I can see how you might end up in a situation in your life where you've ended up having 3 abortions. And, you know, it sounds terrible, and it kind of is terrible. You know, it's like a sad thing. But at the same time, these people aren't bad people. They're not immoral, unethical people. And, like, the ideas of, like, who we think has abortions and who actually has them are really skewed. Like, I found out just through research and also from my interviews that 60% of women who have abortions already have children. So, you know, this idea that we have that it's always young people who are just kind of like don't know what they're doing and just sort of making mistakes or having casual sex is actually a completely untrue statement. You know, a lot of women who are having abortions are doing it for reasons that most of us don't think about. When we think about abortion,
is there a way to generalize about the reason, or is that just totally individual?
Individual. You know, I mean, like, most people really have no idea because their friends don't talk to them about it. But, you know, I've never heard 2 stories that sounded the same, ever.
Huh.
And at this point, you know, since I started the film, even after I finished it, you know, I still get emails all the time and phone calls from people just, you know, who want to tell me their story. And it's always a unique story. Like, it's never the same as anyone else's. And it really drives home the point to me that you really cannot generalize it. You cannot assume anything about why someone's having an abortion.
We want to talk a little bit about how people can see this film. You said it's short, it's 30 minutes. Does your presentation include a discussion or a question and answer? How does that work?
Oh, yeah, always. That's always the most interesting part. We usually show the film and then, actually, in Portland, we have a special part of the program, which is we will do a Q&A, but we also have a local poet named Judith Arcana, who is one of the founding members of JANE, which was a feminist abortion services underground network run by women in the early 70s and 60s. And she's actually a poet, and she's going to be reading some of her poetry that's about abortion at the event as well. And then both of us will take questions and, you know, do an audience Q&A and general discussion after that.
Let's talk about when these showings are. The first one is on Saturday.
It's on Saturday. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. And it's at the Lowbrow Lounge, which is at 1036 Northwest Hoyt. And that's hosted by Backline, which is a Portland-based pregnancy options counseling hotline. Really amazing organization. And it's a benefit for Backline. And then the second one is Sunday, the 29th, at 7 o'clock. And that's at Reed College in the chapel. And that one's hosted by Vox, Voices for Planned Parenthood, the chapter at Reed College.
And we'll have that information at the front desk at KBOO after this interview. So if people wanted that information, they could call 503-231-8032. Penny, is there anything else that you think is important to say about this tour, about the current state of affairs regarding abortion, about your views on it as a young woman? Anything else you think would be good to mention today?
Sure. Well, I think one of the most important things is that, you know, a lot of young people my age and younger, you know, they really think about abortion as a topic that you just can't talk about. Like, nobody wants to talk about it because, you know, it's politically divisive, it's really depressing, you know, it's all these things. And one of the things that the film does really successfully and really, really well is that it really makes abortion a topic that you can talk about. Like, people can talk about this. It's not something that you cannot bring up with anybody. It's very accessible. You know, there are parts of it that are very funny. There are parts of it that are very sad. It's not what you're thinking. It's not what you're thinking when you think abortion documentary, you know? And that's one of the big things that I always like to try to tell people, because, you know, they think, oh no, abortion, you know, I don't want to talk about that, you know? It's a topic that we all can talk about and we really should be talking about, because the way that things are going right now, it's a very scary time for women all across this country and for men too. And one of the things that we need to do as a movement, as a reproductive rights movement, is to start thinking about this choice, this decision, as a part of our human lives. It's not just a political tool. It's not just like a piece of rhetoric that should decide the fate of political careers and who sits on what jury and what panel. You know, it's about real people's lives and their ability to be self-determining, independent human beings. And one of the things that the film does is it really, really brings that home. Like, these are people. These are real people. You know people like this. And the things that are going on politically right now around abortion and sex ed and everything else, contraception, they're not just political issues. They're issues that affect all of us, and people really need to put a human face on that issue. And that's really the goal of the project in the tour.
We'll repeat again, the opportunities to see the film, The Abortion Diaries, in Portland this weekend, Saturday the 28th at the Lowbrow Lounge at 1036 Northwest Hoyt. That's from 5 to 7 p.m. Or Sunday the 29th at Reed College in the chapel, Elliott Hall. That's at 7 p.m. Those are two Portland opportunities. Penny Lane, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us and bringing this to Portland. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. Thanks so much.
Okay. This is Kathleen Stevenson for KABU.